The Racing Pulse Thursday Trial Show with Racing.com's Matt Welsh.
.com's Matt Welsh does join me for the trial show, and we're going to talk trials, Matty. But you penned a piece for .com about how the Soaring Eagle, or whatever it's called, the Golden Eagle, may affect the key race, some of the races in the Melbourne Spring Carnival. Want to have a chat about that first. First of all, good morning.
Good morning, Matty.
How art thou?
Very well. That's very warm outside.
Oh, is it getting there, is it?
Certainly is.
Oh, that's good, because I've got a little plan later in the day with the kids that involves someone else's jet ski, so that's good to hear. Yeah, let's have a quick chat about this. These announcements from Sydney. So let's not talk necessarily about the ethics of what they've done or anything like that, but maybe the absolute impact of what they've done, and you have penned a piece on it. And my view is that it'll be marginal, but there may be summer races affected to some degree. Have you got a similar take on it?
Yeah, you'd think probably races like the Kennedy Mile and Empire Rose are the two that are going to be directly affected, both being 1,600 metres on the same day in Melbourne. But if you look through the four-year-olds that contested both of those races last year, it's not exactly an enormous list of talent. So where they're going to find these four-year-olds to fill the race from is going to be a challenge. Certainly,
you can't invent them, can you?
You can't. Obviously, there's going to be a drive to keep horses away from stud. But again, there's the stud element and the two races in Victoria, both Group 1s, and albeit it may be an outdated way of assessing horses when they go to stud, stakes races are more highly valued than an unclassified race such as the Golden Mile and the Everest.
No matter how much they're worth, too. I mean, a Group 1 and a first season at stud for a $20 million Zoostar colt is worth a lot more than any amount of prize money you can throw at them. So that's one of the automatic challenges there. So the million-dollar race run on Cox Plate Day in Sydney over a mile, I think. Could you imagine that having an impact on the Cox Plate?
You'd think the Cox Plate could be affected by both of the races, the three-year-old race and the four-year-old feature, the Golden Mile. Again, it's going to be tough for them to draw horses away, I would have thought, from the Melbourne Springer. That status is going to count a lot when it comes to breeders. I had a quick look through the Guineas and the Golden Rose races from last year, and there wasn't a gelding in sight. Now, obviously, the $7.5 million carrot in a race carrying no classification is a no-brainer for a gelding. They're not worried about winning stakes-type races. But, you know, the top ones aren't necessarily geldings. And as we know, a lot of them are whisked away to the breeding barn. A lot of them are sold to Hong Kong to contest the Derby over there, which is 3- and 4-year-old race. And Australian middle-distance horses are highly sought after for that race. But at the end of the day, I certainly don't knock people trying to do new things. I've long supported development in racing. I think there's a lot of changes that need to be made to the way the current pattern and programming works. Personally, I would have grabbed $7.5 million and thrown it into a summer twilight series, spent $5.5 million on prize money and $2 million marketing the heck out of it. But yeah, that's just my take on it.
As much as, your first instinct is to applaud innovation and change, especially if you think things may have become a bit dated. Do you think this is a good venture?
It's a tricky one. I just think that the big money into these races might be just spending too much in putting too many eggs in one basket. I think if you look at the Everest race from last year, the field that contested the Everest was pretty much the same as the Darley Sprint. There was a $10.5 million difference in prize money. So I don't think putting the massive money into these races necessarily gets you an enormously better field. I think what made the Everest great was the guerrilla marketing tactics they used, you know, getting someone like Liam Payne in to draw a different crowd to the races, and just the amount of advertising they did, whether that was paid or contra, they were, you know, on the front page of the paper all the time. And that's what made the Everest great. It wasn't a $12 million race with the same sprinters that contested the Darley, you know, 2 weeks later.
Yep. All right, well, it's just going to play out, isn't it? We'll see how successful it is in time. Now let's go on a trial frenzy and find some winners for the weekend. And there were some significant jumps outs at Flemington last Friday.
Yeah, there were. There was a few to follow out of Flemington last Friday. The first out of Heat 3, the Peter Snowden-trained George Patton. Look, this horse is a very well-performed galloper in France, ran fourth in a Group 1 over there back in 2016, had just the one start up in Sydney back in January off a hot trial, and disappointed a bit then, but they've switched him down to Melbourne, and he trialled very well in Heat 3. He went straight to the front, one of the quicker times of the morning, did it all under his own steam and won the heat well. So I think we can follow George Patton when he's next at the races down here in Victoria.
All right, one of those tricky race caller pronunciation names, Splendor on the Grass was another one. This one for, this is a So You Think filly.
Yeah, very nice. So You Think filly for David Hayes, Ben Hayes and Tom Dabernick. She was in heat six. She got a long way back early, as you'd expect from a So You Think. Just take a bit of time to balance up and work her way through the field. But love the way she hit the line. I don't think she'll be winning over 1,000 or 1,100 first up. But sort of once she gets up to 1,200 metres and a little bit further, I think Splendor on the Grass looks a very nice two-year-old filly. And the last one out of the Flemington jump outs was Heat 7. This is another ex-European in Real Gent, trained by Mike Maroney. He's a four-year-old gelding. He had two starts in the winter and disappointed in both runs. But like the way he looks to have come back, he was impressive in Heat 7 at Flemington last Friday.
All right, and then on Tuesday at Caulfield, we had some more jump outs.
We did. There was only five of them. The pick of them came in Heat 5, which was the last heat on the morning. And Sir Harold for John Maloney. He's a three-year-old gelding. He's always shown a bit of promise, but yet to break his maiden status. He sat outside the speed and was impressive in Heat 5. And the last one out of Bendigo Tuesday was Glen Rowan Prince. He goes to Pakenham on Saturday. He ran last start in the China Bowl, but had a tick over jump out at Bendigo on Tuesday and looks to be in terrific order.
All right. Forgive and forget maybe for Glen Rowan Prince from the Golden China Bowl. Sorry. I've got Golden Pheasants and Golden Eagles on my mind. Now, Matty, find us a winner, please.
We'll try to. First one at Kyneton today, race two. Another David, Ben Hayes and Tom Dominic trained runner. Makes its debut, a three-year-old colt, a son of Strategic called Macon Hay. Race three, number three. Went to the Tatura Trials recently and won a heat very, very impressively. Like that he draws gate one, he's got a bit of speed, but he's a bit wayward, so I think the rail on debut will help guide him. I think he'll be hard to run down. Race two, number three at Kyneton.
All right, and where do we move to from there?
We'll go to Moonee Valley. A couple I like at the Valley tomorrow. They've both drawn gate one as well, which could be a little bit tricky, but provided they can overcome the inside alley, I think they'll both be very hard to beat. Race five, number nine, Ray's Dream. Three-year-old filly trained by John McArdle. Look, she hasn't won first up before. She's run second on both first up efforts, but narrowly beaten on debut and then wanted to lay in quite badly first up at Sandown last preparation and drifted onto the inferior ground. But still a good effort. She trialled excellently at Cranbourne recently. I think provided she can dig up and hold the leaders back from gate one, I think she'll be hard to beat. And then in the subsequent race, a really talented galloper called Rocks the Castle. He trialled well before being beaten at Ballarat, but he was far from disgraced. I think the step up to 1,200 metres is ideal. So again, if he can hold the lead or maybe just let Bolek cross him and sit on Bolek's back, I think he'll be very hard to beat. That's race six, number 11, Rocks the Castle at Moonee Valley.
Coming in at the tail end of the spring off that little CV from across the ditch and all that, Rocks, I get the feeling Rocks the Castle might be one of the more prominent emerging horses over summer. Do you get that feeling?
Yeah, absolutely. His first two wins in Australia were dominant and the clock backed up his performances. So I think he's a horse who can progress definitely up to Saturday City class as the weaker sort of racing kicks in over summer.
All right, any more winners for us?
Yeah, just a couple at Pakenham. Pakenham Cup Day, obviously, on Saturday. Race 5, number 8, Sam's Image, resumes for John Sadler, formerly trained by Peter Morgan. Resumes with a tongue tie on here, which is interesting. Drawn gate 3, Lyndon Meach to ride. I think he'll be right on speed. And his recent jump out at Caulfield on the 20th of November was excellent. And like the way he settled, he didn't want to overdo it at all when being asked to restrain. So I think he's in good order for John Sadler, who's had a bit of luck with the Peter Morgan train runners that have shifted to his stable. So $7 and $2.60, happy to back him each way. And just as I mentioned in the last, I think Glen Rowan Prince is over the odds. Race 9, number 6 could have something very small at the $26 and $7 to round out the day at Pakenham.
Yeah, good odds there. Good on you, Matty. Thanks, mate.
Have a good day.
.com's Matty Welsh with the Trial Show.